in your New Testament this evening, Luke chapter 19. Good to be with you this evening. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be back with you again. I am so honored to be able to stand before you, and good to be with you tonight. I'm so thankful for this time to get to share with you. My mom is here tonight, and I appreciate so much her and my dad being here and a few other friends tonight as well. Thank y'all for being here. I appreciate so much you guys making the journey to be here. If you haven't got a chance to meet them, you'd be blessed for it after this. I am glad you're here tonight, too. If you're visiting, perhaps, tonight, as I myself am, thank you for being here. I'm really thankful that you're here. You could be here tonight by an invitation by a family member or a friend. You could be here tonight simply by yourself. And if so, thanks so much for making this a priority tonight. It's possible, I know it's possible in a group this size, that you might have questions. You might come here tonight with questions about God, questions about Jesus, questions about the purpose and the meaning of life. And if that is the case tonight, we'd love to be a blessing to you. We certainly don't have all the answers, and I'm not going to pretend to, but I'll tell you, we do have those in God's Word. And so what a blessing it would be to sit down with you with an open Bible and an open heart to find out what it is God would have us to learn from His Word. I'm really glad our path is crossed this evening, and I'm really appreciative of this time together. To this good congregation of God's people, thank you. Thank you for the work that you're doing here in this place. I've already been, I won't mention any names, but it sounds like it's been pointed out to me that I accidentally took somebody's parking space already. So I do apologize about that, but thank you for your grace. Thank you for your kindness, and I appreciate so much. Hopefully that won't happen ever again. At least I hope I didn't take anybody's seat this evening. But thank you for this congregation, to the brethren here, and the work that you are doing in the kingdom and in this community here. Thank you for all the work that you do. To my good brother Ken, thank you for your songs tonight. I really appreciate the work that you've done doing that. May God be glorified in our study tonight in all things. I heard a story recently about an elderly couple, and the man had accumulated a lot of wealth in his lifetime. You know anybody like that? Thing about this man is that he was a Scrooge. He was really greedy, and he was so greedy that, matter of fact, he told his wife there at his bedside as he was passing away, he said, "Honey, I have all of this money. I love this money, and I love it so much that when I die, honey, I want you to take my money and I want you to put it in the casket with me so that I can take that money into the next life." And he made her promise. He said, "Promise me." So she agreed. Well, not too long after that, God rest bless his soul, he passed away. And at his funeral, right before they closed that great big old casket, in she came with just this big metal box and put it there into the casket as it was closed. Well, one of her friends was nearby, and she knew the situation, and she said, "No, you didn't." The lady said, "Well, yeah, I did. Yeah, he made me promise that when he passed, that I'd put all the money in there with him into the casket, and so I did. I took his money, I put it into my bank account, I wrote him a check, he can cash it, he can spend it, he can do whatever he wants. It is all his." I like that little story. Some of us are just understanding that. Thanks. Welcome back. This evening, I want to talk to you about a man who knew a little something about wealth. And it's buried in the scriptures here in Luke chapter 19. It's a story about Zacchaeus. Maybe you've heard of him before. Zacchaeus. And we find here in Luke chapter 19, around verse 1. Would you read that with me? Here in Luke chapter 19 and verse number 1. And it reads like this. "He entered Jericho," Jesus did, "and was passing through. And behold, there is a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today.' So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, 'He's gone in to be the guest of a man who's a sinner.' And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today, salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost.'" the story of Zacchaeus. I like this little story here. I've always loved this story. And if you're anything like me, maybe when I mention the name Zacchaeus, maybe some of us kind of stop thinking about the story of Mr. Zacchaeus. Oh, maybe about once we reach the age of about 8 or 9 years old. Some of the young people here in the room, I've noticed, I've caught your attention by this. Apparently, this is like a clip art from some children's recounting of the story of Zacchaeus. And you know what's interesting to me is that when we think about Zacchaeus, maybe if you're anything like me, you think about Zacchaeus in the terms of, oh, he was just this weak, he was just this shy, just this little guy who really didn't want to draw any attention to himself. But tonight I simply want to point you in the direction of our sacred volume, the Holy Scriptures, and how Zacchaeus is described there, and draw a few applications this evening. You know, if I'm being honest with you, I'm really tempted to lead you in the Zacchaeus was a wee little man song, but I'll refrain from doing that. Brother Pax has offered to do that after services for you. So anyways, I want to see what this scriptures have to say this evening about this man, Zacchaeus. You might notice right away from Luke 19 and verse number 1 and 2, what was Zacchaeus? Well, according to the scriptures, he was a man of prominence. He was a very important man. He was a man of prominence. Did you actually notice that word Zacchaeus there? I didn't know this until doing it from some further study. You know the name Zacchaeus, what it actually means in Hebrew? The name Zacchaeus actually means clean or pure or righteous. Did you know that? Would that be alarming to you at all? Maybe alarming to those in the audience who would have known who Zacchaeus was, because in the eyes of those around him, he was anything but those things. He was anything but those things. He was a tax collector. And as a tax collector, he worked for the Roman government. We understand that. He was considered by the Jewish people to be a traitor. And as you can imagine, that would have been a very just corrupt practice. But I want you to notice something. Not only was he a tax collector, but did you notice in your Holy Scriptures what kind of tax collector he was? You look down there, you notice it says that he was a chief tax collector. He was the number one tax collector in this marvelous region. You might think of Zacchaeus in terms of like a district manager. He was a supervisor over all the other tax collectors in this area. So good thing for Zacchaeus. Well, he was able to take a cut out of other people's commission on top of what he was already making. So here he is, standing at the very top. You know what's interesting to me? Another thing about Zacchaeus that you might have noticed is the fact that he was a chief tax collector of a very marvelous area. You know anything about Jericho? In my studies of Jericho, I came to find out that Jericho during this time would have been a very beautiful, very prosperous area. Beautiful community here. It's about 15 miles northeast of Jerusalem. And you know, this area served Jerusalem in this, or excuse me, served this community for Jerusalem in the sense that pilgrims would travel from far and wide by the thousands, and they would often stop right here in Jericho. And so does it make sense then why this would have been a great place for taxes to be collected? What a great place for this. It would have been super ideal for taxes to be collected in such a place like this, in a beautiful place. This place was for the rich. It was for the famous. Jericho was also to be known for very lush palm trees. And it's interesting, in my studies, I found out that this place was so sought after that Herod actually constructed his winter home there. So I don't know, Pax, you would have some business there, I'm sure, in your construction business. But this was the place Herod set up his winter home. This was a place for the wealthy. And in this economy, in this location, Zacchaeus maybe could have been said in the New Testament to be one of the most wealthy individuals in all of the New Testament. Now, we don't know a thing about that. We don't know a thing about wealth in our day and time, do we? Oh, sure we do. Sure we do. None of us are lacking very much. We live in such a way to which there's affluence all around us. None of us lack anything. But in this time, in this day, for someone to be wealthy would have been a big deal. Would have been a big deal. This would have been Zacchaeus. He was a man of prominence. But I want you to notice something else about him, and that is simply that he would have been a man who, not only was he a prominent man in this community, but you ever wonder about what would come with that, with the job he had? Maybe if you knew anything about Zacchaeus, you'd say, yeah, he's kind of a controlling guy. He's kind of manipulative. He's kind of ruthless. Kind of ruthless. He doesn't have a lot of compassion on people. What's the one thing probably you came here tonight, if I had to guess, and you already knew about Zacchaeus? Said he was a wee little man, right? From the song that we sing, that the children sing, he was a wee little man. And something about a sycamore tree. We'll get to that in just a second. But I often wonder about that. Why in verse number 2 would the author of this, Luke, why would he give us that little detail in verse 3 that he was such a short man? Why do we have the detail that he was a short in stature? You think about the fact that this man has risen to power. You think about the fact that, I don't know, somewhere along the lines, maybe when he reached adulthood, he realized, I'm not grown anymore. I can do everything I can, but I'm not getting any taller. And so maybe did he learn to compensate for that? Maybe in some regard, he learned to sort of adjust to that small stature. Maybe he knew what it was like to be mocked. Again, we don't know. We can only presume he knew what it was like to be picked on if he was a very short man. Maybe he knew the jokes. You know, Zacchaeus, if you became a preacher, I bet your sermons would be really short. Now, I don't know. I don't know what kind of jokes he would have heard, but he learned how to fight back. And he learned very quickly that I'm going to show all these people that one day I will become a somebody. And I'm going to do that by excelling in my job. So here he is. He grows into adulthood and he proves in really more than one way that he is a force to be reckoned with, and that though these people may be physically looking down on him, they certainly shouldn't financially look down on him by any means. This was a very well-off man, top of the hill, controlling all the commerce in this region. You might say that Zacchaeus might have had a small body, but Zacchaeus was a big man. He was a small body, but a big man, driven by power, driven by wealth. You think about the fact that the Romans would have despised him because he was willing to sell out his own people. The countrymen despised him because he was working for the enemy. Maybe when you see something like this about a tax collector, do any verses come to your mind tonight as we think about Zacchaeus and his occupation? Maybe you're reminded over in verses like Matthew 9 at verse 11. Would you look there? Look at the scriptures there in Matthew 9 at verse 11 in your Bible. It says, when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Now, I bet you remember that verse. Then Jesus comes along and he'll use language like this just a little longer in Matthew 21:31. Matthew 21:31, Jesus would say, truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes will go into the kingdom of God before you. Who are tax collectors lumped with? Who do you see them lumped with there? They're lumped with sinners, prostitutes. Then you think about Luke 18 and verse number 11. Luke 18 verse 11. I bet you know this story if you didn't know those other ones. You remember the story about the Pharisee and the publican? And the Pharisee is just standing by himself praying. And what does he say? He says, oh, I thank you, God, that I'm not like this. I'm not like this tax collector over here says. I'm not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. So yes, Zacchaeus definitely was a man of prominence. And because of that, Zacchaeus probably would have been a ruthless man. And he probably would have been very despised by others. So I don't know about you, good brethren, but tonight I just have to step back for a second and say, that's an interesting story we have here. Maybe we'd ask the question, what was it? What was it about this man that would have caused Jesus to stop and take notice? Why in this big multitude of people does Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as he's passing through town, why does he stop and take notice and call Zacchaeus by his name? And I think tonight it's an important question for us, don't you? Because I really do think, is there anything in my life? Is there anything in your life that may cause Jesus to stop in his tracks and take notice? Does my life reflect anything that Jesus saw in Zacchaeus? Because very first and foremost, I want to suggest to you tonight that Zacchaeus had a great desire to see Jesus Christ. Can you read with me one more time in verse number 3 of our text? verse number 3 of our text in Luke 19. It says he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran on up ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. Don't you wonder, maybe if we think about this story here, why a man with such a secure, lucrative position would be so interested? Oh, he was interested, wasn't he? In this poor preacher from Nazareth. What was it about him? Now, there might be some, I get this. I've talked to some people before who say, you know, Zacchaeus, he really didn't have that strong interest to see Jesus. He was just kind of curious who Jesus was. And I'll tell you, brethren, I would buy that. I would if the text read right here that Zacchaeus opened up his office door and walked out onto his porch and just to take a look around. But it doesn't say that, does it? When I look at this story, or when you read this story, the fact that Zacchaeus was looking to see Jesus, he wanted to see Jesus so bad that he climbed a tree. He climbed a sycamore tree. Now that tells us something more than just mere curiosity, doesn't it? I would say he had a burning desire to see Jesus. What about you tonight? What about you? You know, there's a lot of people here in this world and in this day and time who are looking for something, right? Somebody told me one time, we're not so much struggling anymore with identity theft as much as we are with identity confusion. We've forgotten who we are. We don't know who we are anymore. And so we try to search for that meaning in things like money, things like our job. You wonder why people just keep working, working and working to get to the top, to get to that next promotion. They're seeking fulfillment because that's who they are. That's who they are is in their career. Or maybe it's influence. Maybe it's followers on social media. Maybe it's power. But you know what people come to eventually find out is that there's a God-shaped hole and nothing else here fills it. Nothing else here like that fills it. And so they begin to start looking and searching for God. You've proven that to me tonight. By you being here tonight, you have proven to me that you have an interest in spiritual things. You know, that seems to describe Mr. Zacchaeus here, doesn't it? That very much describes him. In verse number 3, he wanted to know and see who Jesus was. He wanted to find out, what is it all about Jesus that makes him so different? Why are all these people following him? Can you think up to this point what Jesus has done in this gospel here of Luke? Think about that. Jesus, at this point, he has already given sight to the blind on the outskirts of Jericho. And who knows, maybe Zacchaeus comes along and he wanted to kind of have that cleared up a little bit. Maybe he had some questions about that. But he definitely had a desperate need to see Jesus. Not just a casual glimpse, but a burning desire to see who Jesus was. And I just can't help but wonder if that's you tonight. I can't help but wonder if you're here tonight and you're drawn to Jesus. You're intrigued by who he is. Now, following him is a different story. Okay, but now you do have an interest, though, and maybe eventually you'd be willing to give your life to him. Well, that's Zacchaeus here. We see him here in this context here. Think about those problems we mentioned earlier. What was it that Zacchaeus had going for him? Well, he had a physical problem. He was a little shorter, right? That was one problem he had. But the second problem that Mr. Zacchaeus had was even greater, wasn't it? It was a spiritual problem. Because sure, Zacchaeus may have been short in stature, but Zacchaeus had fallen short of the glory of God. He had fallen short of God's standards. And in this day and in this time, when Jesus came through town, Zacchaeus knew he had the wrong focus in life. Oh, yeah, every time he would line his pockets, maybe he'd even walk through the marketplace. He'd be reminded that he had a problem. He was reminded that he knew he had a problem and he had a need for a Savior. You ever wonder if Zacchaeus had heard rumors about Jesus? You know, rumors like, oh, well, he eats with tax collectors and sinners. Hey, what about this one? You ever wonder if he knew about Levi? Remember Levi, Matthew? Remember, he didn't leave everything that he had to follow Jesus to make more money. No, Levi left what he had to follow Jesus to make no money. And so Zacchaeus might have been intrigued by that because he knew his life could change. Despised and rejected by man, Zacchaeus was just at this point in time reaching out for the love of God. You know what this makes me think of? In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, I'll read this verse to you for the sake of time. We don't have to turn over there, but this sure seems to describe Zacchaeus to me. This sure does seem to describe the picture we have of him. But from there you will seek the Lord your God and you will find him. Here it is. If you search after him with all your heart, with all your heart, that describes Zacchaeus here, it seems like, and with all your soul. Even those who seem to be the most unlikely disciples are those who come to see their need for Jesus. Can you hear that tonight? Your greatest moment in life, my greatest moment in life, is when I come to see my need for Jesus. Where I have a desire to see Jesus. I want to show you something else here in this text. And that is that Zacchaeus had a very difficult time seeing Jesus. Why? Even our children here tonight could probably answer this question. He had a hard time seeing Jesus because of the crowd. Because of the crowd. You see, he was seeking to see who Jesus was in verse number 3. But notice this neat little phrase here. But on account of the crowd, he could not. Can you picture that? Can you picture this for a second? Picture this with me. As he's trying to maneuver his way, maybe through this great big crowd here. Maybe those in the crowd. Hey, what if they saw Zacchaeus? What if they thought, hey, this is an opportunity for us to get an elbow in, or I'm going to step on his foot as he's coming through to hinder him from getting through the crowd. Now, I don't know. I don't know what the crowd did. But I just have to stop here and go, huh, it's interesting. The crowd. It might could have been a time for the crowd to get even with this man who they didn't like very much. Maybe they took delight in causing Zacchaeus not to be able to see Jesus. But I like that phrase there, don't you? On account of the crowd, he could not see Jesus. You know what this makes me wonder? I bet you've had this thought so far as well. You know, it makes me wonder how many people in the world have a great, great desire to know the Jesus of the Bible, of the New Testament. And we come to learn about him. How many people are looking for Jesus? Looking for him. Well, they want to find him. But the crowd's hindering him or her from being able to do that. You know, what's interesting to me is that there are actually times, sad, that Christians can really be a barrier between them and Jesus. Rather than shining our light, rather than building a bridge so that others can come to Jesus. You know, it's true reality that there are some Christians who choose to live in things like hypocrisy. And instead of walking in the light, they walk in darkness. And they cause others to maybe mock or ridicule Christianity. A close friend of mine one time told me, he said, Luke, there's two reasons why people don't become Christians. One is because they don't know any Christians, and two, because they do. Let me rewind and press play. Two reasons why people maybe don't become a Christian is one, they don't know any, and two is because they do. What a sad thought. How frightening is that? That I could be the reason why others cannot see Jesus. Maybe you're here tonight. And you're thinking, yeah, I was with you until you brought this point up, Brother Luke. Thank you for that. But it's really difficult for me to see Jesus tonight because of this person. And they proclaimed to be a Christian. They really did. They told me that they were living the life of a Christian. But I have seen them. Luke, I've seen them involved. I've seen them involved in things that they shouldn't be involved with. Listen, Zacchaeus was so determined to see Jesus, he was willing to rise above the crowd. No matter what that crowd was doing. I think it's important for us to see. Did you notice what he did? He climbed a tree to get a higher viewpoint. He wouldn't allow other people to stop him from doing that. And so I just want to encourage you tonight to think about these words. We ought to be big enough to rise above the crowd and see Christ for ourselves. We ought to be willing to do that. But we get encouraged by listening to him. We're moved by letting him be our God. And we're allowing him to be our authority, allowing him to be our standard. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying tonight. I am not telling any of you in this room to go out here, especially not in the rain. I'm not asking you to go climb a tree this evening. At least if you do, make sure I'm not around so I don't have to call the ambulance for you. Not asking you to do that, but I am asking you to notice something here back in verse number 4. Did you notice this in verse 4? There's two verbs here. Two verbs. He ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree. Two things here that happened, right? He ran and he climbed. What do you see there? I see a determined man, don't you? I see a very determined man that he was willing to make, if you will, a fool out of himself to see Jesus. Here's my point tonight. There are two things. Two things that wealthy people during this time and tax collectors didn't do. You know what those two things were? They didn't run. And they probably didn't climb trees. Wealthy, dignified people certainly didn't do those things. Both of those things were considered inappropriate. I mean, first of all, can you imagine somebody in a suit and a tie, I mean, trying to climb a tree like that? Those two things don't go together very well. But that is how determined. That's how determined Zacchaeus was to see Jesus. He was a man on a mission. Oh, for so many years, just driven by money, money, money. But at this point in time, he was driven to see the face of Jesus Christ. And therein lies another point for you. And that is, I want you to notice something about Zacchaeus tonight. And that is that he was humble. He was humble, wasn't he? You see, when Jesus comes to that place and looks up, he says, Zacchaeus, hurry down from here. Hurry down from there, for I must stay at your house today. It says so. He hurried down and received him joyfully. Remember I said of all the people that it seems as Jesus stops right there and he looks up, he sees Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had a great desire to see Jesus, but I think there's also something here that Jesus saw in Zacchaeus. You know what's interesting to me? Is that just a chapter before, if you'd be turning to Luke 18, just a chapter before, in another important part of this gospel here, actually Jesus says who will inherit the kingdom of God. You remember Luke chapter 18 at verse number 16? Who was it that Jesus said would enter into the kingdom of God? Luke chapter 18 at verse number 16 reads like this. And the Bible says, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Verse 17, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. What was it? What was it, brethren, that set Zacchaeus apart from the crowd? Well, I would go so far as to say it was his humility, for sure. I think that's something you would have seen in him. He was one of the only ones in that crowd to climb up in that sycamore tree. What were those two things he did? He ran and he climbed. Can I ask you a question tonight? Who runs a lot? Children. Who climbs a lot? Climbs trees a lot? Children. I can't tell you the last time I tried to climb a tree, and I feel like the last time I did at my parents' house, I fell out of it. But his point is here, really, Jesus is looking for men and women a lot like Zacchaeus who approach him not on the basis of who they are and what they've accomplished, but he's looking for men. He's looking for women who approach him on the basis of what he's done for them on the cross. See, children don't come to God with credentials, do they? Here's my resume. Look at all the things I've done. Children don't come to God and say, look at how great I am. They say, I'm dependent on you. I'm fully dependent on you. They approach the Father with just this desire to be close to him, out of their understanding that they're completely, just completely dependent upon him. And so, brethren, when I think about this story here, when I think about Zacchaeus in this story, Jesus coming along, I'll tell you what I think of is that song we sing, right? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was him. And you remember there's a point in that song where we all get that great big old pointer finger out, right? Like Jesus did. Some of the kids know this part, don't you? Some of our kids know this part. Where you point that finger up in the air and it's like Jesus says, Zacchaeus, you come down for I'm going to your house today. I see her mouthing it back there. And you know, brother, when I think about that, maybe at first thought, you think that Jesus was kind of really harsh. You get down from there, I'm going to get you. But you know, the more I come to read my Bible and the more I come to learn about the Jesus, the Son of God, my Savior, you know what I start to appreciate? His love, His compassion, and His conversation. I can't imagine Him scolding Zacchaeus here as much as Him just saying, listen, Zacchaeus, come down. You know, let's go to your house today. Let's go to your house. And at this point, what does the crowd do? The crowd turns to Jesus and they do what they do best. They ridicule him. They say, here he is. Here he is, living up to his reputation once again. He saw something special, didn't he? Jesus saw that Zacchaeus was humble. And so then in verse number 6, he hurries down and receives him joyfully. And therein lies our last point tonight. Our last point in the lesson will be yours. And that is that Zacchaeus, what was he willing to do after this interaction with Jesus Christ? Well, we learn here in verse number 8, it says, Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." He was willing to repent, wasn't he? Boy, I wonder what that conversation was like with Zacchaeus, don't you? Had Zacchaeus had a chance to make preparations at his apartment or his living space there? You know, I think about the story of Mary and Martha and ladies. What would you do? What would you do if Jesus was coming over this evening for Sunday afternoon supper or lunch, however you phrase that? My guess is you probably wouldn't have peanut butter and jelly sandwich and Ruffles chips. I'm just guessing. You would have your best meal on your best china with your best silverware, with your best napkins and tablecloths. Zacchaeus didn't have a chance to do that. I think if he was coming over to my place this evening, I might say, "Hold on a second at the door. Hold on a second. Let me dust here. Let me dust there. That's my parents. I'm kind of a neat freak. Let me clean this place up." Why? Because the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is coming to my house. I imagine Jesus sitting down with Zacchaeus here and saying, "Zacchaeus, tell me a little bit about how things are going. Zacchaeus, tell me a little bit about your job." And at some point in that conversation, Zacchaeus begins to pour his heart out to Jesus, right? At some point in this conversation, before this conversation was over, before this dinner was over, before this meal was over, Zacchaeus was a changed man. He was, wasn't he? You just listen to that language here. That describes and shows to me a changed man. He was willing to repent. Changed mind, followed by a change in conduct. It's like you're trying to get to town this evening, but you accidentally take a right out of the parking lot. You don't say, "Oh, we're going to end up in town somehow, some..." No, you maybe whip a U-turn, or you pull into somebody, you go the opposite direction. You make a 180-degree turn. And what I see here is a repentant man. He was willing to change to have a relationship with Jesus. And friend, can I ask you tonight, have you thought about this before? Maybe you're interested in Jesus. Maybe there's someone in your life, in your sphere of influence, who you could share the story with. Maybe this gives you an idea on exactly what you can do in conversation with them and telling them about Jesus. But here's the deal. Maybe tonight you've been listening to me, and up to this point I've had you, but I've lost you. I've lost you here. When we start talking about making a change, there's a lot of people who are unwilling to do so. They're unwilling to stop living in sin and make a chance. We've got to understand that. But all throughout Scripture, there's this theme preached about repentance. It's not my message. It's God's first. You remember in Acts 2:38, when those people said, "What must we do? We've crucified Jesus Christ, the Son of God." What was it that Peter said to them in Acts 2:38? He would say, "Repent and be baptized." Why would he preach that? Well, I can't help but wonder if that's because Jesus preached it not long before. He would say, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And then it's because of this that Zacchaeus repented, because he came face to face with Jesus. I want you to think about a few things tonight before we wrap up. Your attention has been so good. Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for paying such good attention tonight. Here's the point I want to get from this, is that Jesus, I don't think, is satisfied with just a casual relationship with you. Do we learn something here with the story of Zacchaeus? What are you saying to Zacchaeus? He says, "Zacchaeus, you come down from here. I need to stay at your house today." What Jesus was saying is, "Zacchaeus, I want all of you. Zacchaeus, I want a relationship. I don't just want a casual relationship with you. Zacchaeus, I'm asking you to come into your home, but more than that, I want to come into your heart. I want you to open up your heart to me." And listen, that would be my admonition to you tonight, is that Jesus Christ is not interested in some just superficial relationship with you, where maybe it's tempting to convince ourselves that we can just show up here on, on a Sunday and we can dress nice and throw some money in the plate and sing a few songs and walk out the door and say, see you next week. Jesus isn't satisfied with that type of relationship. Jesus says, I want to come to your house. I want to come into your house. He says to us tonight, I want to permeate your heart. I want to come into your marriage. I want to come into your conversations. I want to come into your habits. He says, I want to come into your attitudes. He says, I want to come into your house. And when I do, I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference in all of your life. That's what Jesus wants of all of us tonight. That's what happened to Zacchaeus, isn't it? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. He was willing to give it all up, wasn't he? Oh, I love that about him. He was willing to change. And it's amazing to me, brethren. Here's a man who woke up that very morning thinking, how much can I get? How much can I get? How much can I get today? But he puts his head on the pillow that night thinking, how much can I give? How much can I give? What a changed man. What a changed man. You know, details of his life up to that point. Did he lose his job after this? I've always wondered that. What became of his clients? You know, I don't know about the details of his life, but brethren, here's what did change. His direction changed. His direction changed. Jesus changed this man that day, and it was demonstrated in his very actions. Now, I want you to think about this for a second before we sing the invitation song. You know, we often think about Jericho, and what's the one thing we maybe know about Jericho? We sing a song about it sometimes, right? That the walls came tumbling down. That's right, brother. The walls came tumbling down. And for the longest time, that's the only thought I ever had about Jericho. But I'm going to tell you after the study tonight, you know, I'm going to be thinking about this time in this day, in this time that the walls came tumbling down in a man's heart. And his name was Zacchaeus. I'm amazed that just a chapter earlier, Jesus actually encountered another rich man. You remember this man? He went away sorrowful, for he had many possessions. Jesus said this in Luke 18:24. How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. For he says it's even easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. But on this day, and in this time, a camel went through the eye of a needle. And his name was Zacchaeus. Why? Why did that happen? Because he had a burning desire to see Jesus. He was willing to approach him with humility. And he was willing to repent. What about you tonight? What about me? Do you have a burning desire to see Jesus? Would you be willing to do something about that? You know, I would tell you to not climb a sycamore tree, but I would say your route of getting your life right with the God of heaven is just a few steps away from the front here. We can pray with you. We can encourage you. You can become a Christian tonight. You can have your sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And that can happen tonight. You can walk out of here just like Zacchaeus, a changed man. Whatever your need might be, right here in the front is where you need to be as we stand and as we sing.